Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, Eliza Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I'll do my best and Lord Jesus answer for you. If you're having any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that you'll bless us on this day to come together in your name. And dear Lord, we thank you for what you're doing on this blessed day. And we give invitation to your spirit to be with us, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for hearing our requests and our cry. And we thank you, Lord God, for taking this word of truth to the hearts of the people that are listening. And so, Father, we would just be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for this day and being able to come back to you guys. There have been technical difficulties over the few days where we've been not able to do a broadcast, but thank God that he got it all cleared up. And so today I'm coming with part two of the series, Listen Mormons, the book that Jesus is over, and this revised. And as I was talking to you guys in part one, the purpose of this series, you know, some of you have listened to the broadcasts as I've done, especially on the series in dealing with the Mormons. And some of you may say, well, why are you always picking on them? Why do you hate them? I don't hate them. But I must expose the hidden darkness of things when it is seeking to connect itself to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ of restitution and restoration. It's not just my duty, it's the duty of every believer who knows about the true work of restitution and restoration to call out the works of darkness, to expose it, that many souls would not be led astray. And the reason why this is titled Listen, Mormons, the book that Jesus over revised is because for the simple fact is that I'm talking about one of the books that, and you guys have heard me go to it, give you scriptures out of it, called The Record of Nephi. And Joseph Smith, we know, in his humility, was used of God in dealing with the translation of the Nephi record that was written in another language on these plates. Now, the thing about it is that, thank God that we in the Church of Christ, the Life Message, had the original script. But the Mormons took and changed some things, and they have a book called the Book of Mormon, okay? And the Book of Mormon is not, with its changes, it's not of God. We have the original script. God said, called the Record of Nephi. Hopefully we'll get into that in a later on, another part of the series. But the reason why I'm doing this part of the series, because what we're doing is we're looking at what God established, okay? That's why it's titled The Book That Jesus Over. It's what he established, what he calls to come forward. Versus, as we go on through to the other series, how we would talk about the changes that the Mormons did to, quote, the Nephi record. And it's another book, another commandments that God had given that they did change to that. And hopefully we'll get into that as well in another part of a series. But I'm starting off with this because, and as I said, I you know, it come to me that to talk about what the Mormons had changed, we need to first talk about what God had established. What was that which came forth of God, okay, to understand what they went and changed. So what that has caused me to do is to go back into the discussion of the Nephi record and its coming forward, okay? And I did a thing on the Nephi record back here, I think last year, early last year, and, you know, I'm doing it again. And many times God can even give you more than what you did last time. So understand this, that, you know, just because you may do a series on something, don't think that you have all what it is to that thing, to that series. There can be more that God can give you. So now we're going to proceed on. And what I'm going to do in this part two, as we're looking at how this thing came about, how God brought this thing about of the record of Nephi. So like I said, for you to understand the changes that the Mormons did to that which was brought forth in the plan and the way of the Lord, you must first hear and understand the plan and the way of the Lord about this book coming forward, okay, for you to understand the changes that they made. And so I'm going to start here reading from Joseph Smith's original writing and recording on how God dealt with him and bringing forth of this Nephi record. Amen. Once again, we're talking about God's way of bringing forth this book. And here's the thing, people. I want to say this before I go any further. When God gives revelation, or if he brings forth something a particular way or any way he chooses, don't tamper with it, okay? Now, those of you as Christians listening to this, please listen to this also. For example, if God gave you, let's say, specific words to tell a person, tell those specific words. Don't add, don't change it. Don't talk about, well, this ain't correct grammar. Don't do that. Whatever way God has given it, give it that way, okay? I believe not only the Mormons, but there have been many Christians whom God had given a particular word to either tell someone or tell the congregation, and they messed up by adding things to it, okay? And that's why when they added to it and presented, it didn't go well with many people, in a sense, not because of all the time people's hearts being in a bad condition, but many of them didn't get no witness to that. In fact, some of them may have even got a disturbance from it. Because when you begin to add into something that God has given, you know, without his permission, then you're going to mess it up. I want to read to you now on September the 21st, 1823. I want to read a little bit this to you, then we'll go into the scriptures about Joseph Smith giving an account of the road, and I ain't talking about literal road, but the road where he was set on, the course to where that he would receive these plates, which is of the, you know, the Nephite record. And it's amazing how God's plan unfolds. Now, once again, people, please hear this. For those of you who are Christians who say, I've heard of Joseph Smith. Oh, my goodness. This brother is a Mormon. Oh, my God. No, we're not Mormons. Okay? We're not Mormons. Because in this series and what the next series to come in connection to this, I'm going to be dealing with the good and the bad. Okay? Even concerning Joseph Smith. Okay? And you got to understand that there was at one point Joseph Smith was humble and used of God. You know, it's just like some people, because they behold or come across the information of a person's bad things, they write them off completely. Give you an example. Like, for example, and Sister, Prophetess Juanita Byron. Now, Juanita Byron, and I pray that she repent and fully come back to the Lord, because she have gotten off track. She is doing things that's not of God, and I'm just going to put it like that. But anyhow, I've heard and look at some comments of people who seeing her at this time off track. And I have heard comments like, you know, to paraphrase it, like, well, she always been like that. You know, she's been in the middle of this place. She's always been like that. And I said, no, I can't agree with you on that. Because when I first came across Sister Bynum, she was used of God. There was no doubt. That was the Holy Ghost was with her. Now, she, once again, she ended up getting off track, just like Joseph Smith, you know, who started off as a man of God and got off track. In his pride, she got off track. But for me to say she always been like that, what she doing and not of God, stuff like that, that is not the truth. That's not true. And see, some people, when they catch you on the low side or the bad or the evil side, they write off the whole thing. And so that's what many are doing concerning Joseph Smith. So when you bring up Joseph Smith's name, and don't get me wrong, because of the evil seeds he planted later, you know, you hear that name, they he's fake, false, you know, all kinds of it. And then they say he's been a this and that. At one time, he was used of God. Now, let me read this starting out to you. And this is what he said. This is on September the 21st, 1823. He said, while I was thus in the act of calling upon God, I discovered a light appearing in the room, which continued to increase until the room was lighter than at noonday, when immediately a personage appeared at my bedside, standing in the air, for his feet did not touch the floor. He had on a loose robe of most exquisite whiteness. It was the whiteness beyond, now he goes to say, it was the whiteness beyond anything earthly I had ever seen. Nor do I believe that any earthly thing could be made to appear so exceedingly white and brilliant. His hands were naked and his arms also a little above the wrist. So also were his feet naked, as were his legs a little above the ankles. His head and neck were also bare. I could discover that he had no other clothing on but this robe, as it was open so I could see into his bosom. Not only was his robe exceedingly white, but his whole person was glorious beyond description, and his countenance truly like lightning. The room was exceedingly light, but not so very bright as immediately around his person. When I first looked upon him, I was afraid, but the fear soon left me. He called me by name and said unto me that he was a messenger sent from the presence of God to me, and that his name was Nephi, that God had a work for me to do, and that my name would be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongues, or that it would be both good and evil spoken of among all people. He said there was a book deposit written upon gold plates giving an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from which they sprang. Now, I'm going to stop there. Now, Joseph Smith said when he was calling upon the name of the Lord at his room, in his room, his house, he discovered a light appearing in his room. And he immediately saw this personage that appeared by his bedside. This personage was in the air, whose feet didn't touch the floor. Okay. And let's be real. If most of us saw something like that, what's the first thing that happened to you? You get afraid. Okay. You'd be afraid because that's not something ordinary on this earth. Okay. You're seeing people suspended in the air, quote, like that, normal. Okay. And he goes on to describe, and another thing he said, that when he first looked at him, he was afraid. He said, but the fear soon left him. And he said this personage called him by name, and he said, this personage said unto him that he was a messengers sent from the presence of God to him, and that his name was Nephi. Now, this messenger sent from God, who said name was Nephi, this personage, was an angel. An angel was sent to Joseph Smith, whose name was Nephi. We're going to look at scriptures where that God has done this before. He has sent angels to man. Many of you, as we go into this, will say, man, Brother Nate, I know that. And I understand that, what you're saying. But there are some who think that God would not work this way today. There are some who claim to be of God who believe God would not work this way today. In fact, some of them look as though that God, or act as though God has changed, and you will find some to say, hey, well, he did it back in those days, but he's not doing it today. That's just like what some of them believe, that the Lord is not speaking today. Some of them believe that the gifts of God is not operating today. You get my point. So let's look at scriptures to show where angels of the Lord, God sent his angels to man, okay? Because some will hear this account Joseph Smith gave and said this messenger came to him, and they go, oh, man, that ain't, God ain't sending no angel today. He went, well, remember Hebrews chapter 13. The God said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in all three tenses, the Lord is the same. Now, we as people, when it comes to the tenses, we're subject to changing. You understand that? It's like if you remember your classmates from the past, how they acted in high school. Maybe someone was rowdy. But now you come into the present time, you notice that the way they act was not the way they act in the present. In the past, rather. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one out of us who would not change. He's just the same in all three tenses. We, on the other hand, you know, we're subject to change. You might have been a certain way in the past. You might not be that way now. You understand that? Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. And once again, we're looking at this, and we're looking at the way God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did this thing with Joseph Smith, okay? Not the way, it wasn't something that Joseph Smith planned, and he said, oh, I'm just going to say an angel come to me, or I'm going to pray a certain way to make an angel appear. No, this is the way that the Lord had it done. He sent this messenger to Joseph Smith, this messenger, this angel, who gave Joseph Smith his name, told him who he was, and how that he was sent from the presence of God to him. Amen. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 7. It said, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, Daniel was visited by an angel of the Lord. In fact, the angel told Daniel, said, the day that you set yourself to chasten yourself before God, he said, your words were heard, and I have come from your words. In fact, he told Daniel, he said, I am sent to you. Who sent him? God sent him. The Lord sent him. Amen. In fact, he said, the day that you did this, you made this request, Daniel, your words were heard, and I've come for your words. I come to give the answer. God was sent from God. See, the Lord will send his angels to his people. He would do that, people. He will. Now, he sent an angel to Daniel with an answer to the prayer that Daniel uttered up. And notice that Daniel said that when this angel had spoke, he started trembling. Not the angel, Daniel did. Now, I read to you Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith said when he saw his parsonage, when he saw this person, this parsonage, he said he got afraid. Naturally, many times, we as, let's say, humans, when we have an angelic visitation, automatically we go into fear mode, okay? Why? Because this is some unusual for humans, okay? So Daniel stood trembling. And so the angel says to him, fear not, Daniel. Don't be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord decided to send an angel to Daniel's request by way of an angel. Now, understanding this, not everything that God does, he's going to be sending an angel every time. Now, we got to understand this because, see, sometimes people get imbalanced. They think that everything God's going to do, he got to send an angel. You know, you got some people, they just won't do nothing until, okay, God, you send an angel. That's the only time to do something. Well, see, now you're getting off track. The primary way that God said he will reveal things unto his people is by the Holy Spirit that lies within them. But, however, if he chooses to use another instrument, like, for example, angels, to send you a message, he will do that. Okay? And he will do that. Amen. And you got to remember, angels operate by the power of the Holy Ghost as well. Okay? But God will send an angel to his people. Okay? So that is scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start at verse 1. And the word said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. Now, here's an instance of another angel that sent, another angel of the Lord. The Bible tells you the angel of the Lord. And here's the thing about the angels in the Bible alone. You're not given the name of every angel. There's a few that the name is given. But everywhere that you see an angel of the Lord is spoken of in the Bible, a name is not given. It'll just tell you an angel of the Lord, okay? And this angel come, and he rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, so what, you're like, okay, well, what was the reason I'm going to send it back? Because he's waiting for the people. So this is God sending this angel to the people. And notice that the Bible said, and for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, they shook and became as dead men. Fear hit him. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. So he moved back the stone, okay? And when he moved back the stone from the door, he just sat on it. Like what? Like he's waiting for the people because he had to give them a message. And this is the Lord sending his angel to the people. Once again, it is scripture of God's doing to send an angel to mankind, okay? This is scripture. If scripture would have told you that God does not send angels to mankind, then rest assured this account that Joseph Smith gave, talking about a messenger visit him, that we know is dealing with an angel, then you would have every right to refute it and say, no, that ain't so. You understand that? We got to understand if it's something that contradicts scripture, then you definitely can trash it. Now, some of you, because of the downside of what Joseph Smith have done is and planted some evil seed, when you hear even me reading this, that an angel had appeared to him, you already casting your ballot and throwing it out the window. Why is that? Because many of you, now here's the thing, many of you only know the evils or the bad seed that Joseph Smith sowed. That's all you know. You don't know about when he was in his humility and how God healed. I mean, used him, excuse me. You don't know about that. You just know one side. And I think all of us at some point in our lives kind of went that route. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't know the full side in dealing with someone, you just knew one part, so you cast a judgment over the whole thing. So you say, oh, but they was always like this. They never come to God. But see, you could be dead wrong. In this case, with Joseph Smith, many of you that think that way, you're dead wrong. But once again, if scripture would have told you that God is not sending angels today to his people, then you would have every right to jump up and just say, man, this man is just phony fake on what he's saying because God doesn't send angels today. But yet still, or you could say, well, it's not scripture that God doesn't send angels. But you see thus far as we're going, it is scripture, okay? It is scripture. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 8. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 8. Now it said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, okay? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, once again, we have another account of an angel of the Lord appearing to man. And this angel was sent of the Lord to the shepherds. Now, you got to understand that angels are sent of the Lord. Angels don't just decide on their own to come and visit people. They don't do that. When angels come, they're always on the appointment schedule of Jesus. So when Jesus said, it's time for you to take a message of mine to the people, that's when they go. They don't go at our beck and call. You don't, first of all, don't go to the dollar store and buy you an appointment book and start scheduling. I'm going to pray. I want this angel to come this day, that day, this day. Forget it. You're wasting pages and you're wasting ink. Or if you're writing a pencil, you're raising lead. Because for the simple fact is that the angels of the Lord do not come, quote, at your beck and call. So when Joseph Smith was, as he said, he was praying and calling on the name of the Lord, and this angel appeared to him, it wasn't based on his, quote, beck and call. In other words, the angel that appeared to Joseph Smith did not come on Joseph Smith's appointment time. He does. When he was sent to Joseph Smith, he told Joseph Smith, I come from the presence of God. I am sent to you. God sent this angel to Joseph Smith, okay? And just like here with these shepherds, God sent this angel to these shepherds to let them know, hey, unto you a Savior is born. Is born. The Lord used this angel to give these men a bit of information that they didn't know. This Savior is born. Not going to be, but is born. And in fact, verse 12, he said, this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay? This is the information that the angel was giving to these shepherds. This is the information he was authorized to tell them. Because remember, he's authorized by God. Remember, angels of the Lord come on the appointment time of God. So this angel that came to Joseph Smith, all what he said to Joseph Smith, he is authorized by God to tell him. Okay? Now notice I keep stressing on authorized by God or sent by God, because once again, as I said to you guys before, Joseph Smith, when he fell out of humility, got lifted in pride, and got together with this Mormonism he started and all that, they made changes to that which came forth of God. And so now we're looking at God's operation, God's way of doing things. This is what we're looking at first. And so what we're looking at here is how that is God's way to send an angel. And send an angel to Joseph Smith. And we're seeing in the scriptures, the Lord has done that with man throughout time, that he will send an angel unto man. Now, some of you may say, well, Brother Nate, what about me? I ain't never seen no angel. Well, if you're born again and the Lord has dealt with you any other way, be happy. That's what I say. Be happy. Of course, hey, listen, even Brother Nate would like to see an angel of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But the number one thing to me is just knowing, number one, that I'm saved and that I have the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing. Because, hey, if I'm not in that, that's it for me. You know, and some people, because, like people in the Bible record, they have had angelic visitation. You know, they get upset because God won't send an angel to them. Okay? First off, be happy that you are a born-again believer if you have come to Christ. That's the first thing. Be happy of that. Now, notice that, and the next thing is that if you're a born-again believer, you know, let God be God. Whatever way he choose to give a word to you, let it be. Okay? Let it be. Now, I've had a visitation from an angelic being in a dream. I've had that. And that was in the year 2000. In the year 2000, I remember, I knew that the being I was talking to in the dream was an angel. To tell you the truth, now that I think about it, I think I've had two dreams, okay, concerning angel visitation, okay? And both dreams was giving me information about the future, okay? Both of them give me information about the future. And this angel, when you listen to all what he said that Joseph Smith was doing many things the same, okay? But it was telling him other things as well, even things that was presently or at present. Now, hallelujah. Let's stay in Luke, and let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Amen. Going back to chapter 1. Amen. And I want to start with verse 6. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Now look what the word of God says. And it's talking about here Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Excuse me. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, once again, another account of some of a human who was God's servant having an angelic visitation. And this angelic visitation, once again, was bringing an answer to a prayer. He was bringing a confirmation, okay? Amen. So we've seen that angels can bring an answer to a prayer request. They can bring information about things that we don't know. Amen. And they also can reveal the plan of God. We see here with the angel visiting Zacharias, not only did he inform Zacharias that his prayer was heard, but he unleashed or revealed some of God's plan. Okay? And the plan was, not only was he answering the prayer because they asked for a child, not only did he answer God answered the prayer about them having a child through this angel messenger, but the part of the plan you can see he revealed, if you go to verse 14 to verse 17, he talks about the work that this child is going to do. And to show you one of the things that made this plan so special, God did not even let them name the child, okay? Because the angel said, in fact, the Bible let us know that they asked for a child, The Bible doesn't tell us that they asked for a specific gender, okay? It didn't say that they wanted a girl or wanted a boy. And so to show you more of this God's plan, God not only not let them name the child, but gave them the gender, okay? Let them know it's going to be a son, okay? And so when you look at this angel with Joseph Smith, to the information I read to you, God was using this angel to unveil a plan to Joseph Smith on how God was going to use him. You understand that? He was revealing a plan to him on how God was going to cause something that is of him to be brought forth, okay? Not for Joseph Smith to examine and, quote, call himself, make corrections to, or even these so-called Mormon, if you want to call them educators or scholars, to fool with it. No. None of that, okay? None of that at all. Hallelujah. And you see, once again, what was the reaction of Zacharias? Well, the Bible said that he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Why? Because this is not of an ordinary occurrence, okay? This is not an ordinary occurrence. Not in this dimension, okay? It's one of an ordinary occurrence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. God will send angels to his people. Once again, to reveal his plan, to give them information about things that they don't know, especially if it's the plan of God or something to come forth. That's what he sent them to do. Once again, as I read to you thus far about Joseph Smith, as you heard, that's one of the things that this angel was doing. He was sent, and the angel said, I am sent to you, okay? He wasn't sent to no one else. He was sent specifically to Joseph Smith. Amen. And so people need to take an account of things that God do or deal with them to a point where you should treat it so precious that you know not to tamper with it. And see, that was some things that Joseph Smith and the Mormons, they tampered with, okay? Amen. They got them off base. Now, let's read one more scripture. And this scripture, coming from the Word of the Lord book, which is a book of the messages that the Lord has sent through his angel messenger, the Elijah, okay? The Elijah. And this message was sent out October the 4th, 1937. This is called Message 31, which means it's the 31st time that God has sent his angel messenger, the Elijah, with a message. This Elijah, who's coming from the presence of God, and what does he do in these messages? Well, if you had these messages, and I told you guys how to contact us at the beginning of this broadcast, if you wanted to copy the messages, if you had this message and read it, if you read, let's say if you had all 120 messages, you would see in these messages, or even in just one or two of them if you had, that God sending this angel, been having this angel to reveal, to speak of God's plan, to let him know things concerning the future, you name it, okay? So when an angel of the Lord is sent to man, he is sent and authorized by God to speak what God has him to speak and to do what God has him to do. The angels of the Lord don't come on their own beck and call. They don't come on my beck and call or your beck and call. They don't do that. Okay? They come at the time of the Lord. And pretty much so, if they come at the time of the Lord, and they only speak what God authorized them to speak, then who are we to tamper with what's said or what is brought forth or the way it's brought forth? You understand that? Now, on October the 4th, 1937, the Lord decided to send his angel, the Elijah. I'm going to read verse 1. And this is what this angel was authorized to tell. Not only just Brother W.A. Dreyse, who he was sent to, but to the people of God. He said, "Fear not. Let peace be with you. Your prayers have been heard. God hears the prayers of his children. He knows your heart before you ask. Some are pleading to him in your behalf, and God has looked on you in favor. The year has been good to you. Blessings have been yours to enjoy. Yea, be humble before your God." Now, this angel was sent to Brother Dreyse. And notice that this angel, now, this 31st message is the first time that this angel Elijah was sent to Brother Dreyse. The first 30 times he was sent to Brother Otto Fetty, who after message 30 had passed. So Brother Dreyse now is getting a visitation from the same angel that visits Brother Otto Fetty. And the first two words he says to him is, "Fear not." And once again, as human beings, we have this knack that something or someone extraordinary, you know, visit us, we get afraid quick, okay? Because we living in this dimension, that is not ordinary, okay? It's not ordinary. And so this angel visits Brother Dreyse with word from the Lord, confirming a prophetic word that is comforting, edifying, exhorting, okay? Amen. And so, like with Joseph Smith, as we read on through time through the series, you will hear an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord Nephi, that appeared to him, encourage him, informs him, okay, concerning some things he need to know. So we see here from the scripture that it is scripture for God to send an angel to his servant. Okay? It's scripture, people. So once again, for those of you that's hearing this, and you hearing the little account thus far I read to you that happened with Joseph Smith, don't be quick to strike it down. Okay, I'm giving you scripture that you can look it up and study for yourself. So you can't just up and just say, "Well, ain't no angel came to Joseph Smith, and God ain't sending no angel." Well, how do you know that? People, here's the other thing we have to do. We have to learn how to seek God. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a few things there that is dead set. You know that, hey, this is not a God, okay? I'm not going to say everything you have to just jump up and pray about. Some things are evident, up front, live, okay? No doubt. But there's the other side to this thing. Sometimes we let the bad news we hear take us on whether we search God or not about the particular subject. You understand that? So when we hear bad news about someone, we automatically put two and three together, calling it four, okay? We just get off track because for the simple fact is, I didn't hear no good about you and blah, 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 and it can't be nothing good about you, or it could have never have been anything good about you. That's the kind of judgment we form, okay, by doing that. And what can happen is we can miss the whole thing. God could actually been working or working in something, but because of our judgment and the way we're looking at things without seeking him, we become blinded. And then later on, we get a wake-up call that, oh, my God, it was God. But I thought God, you know, amen. I thank God for enabling me to do this part 2. Lord, say the same. Tomorrow I will come with part three of this. Once again, breaking it down sketch by sketch. Joseph Smith had a visitation from an angel of the Lord. And this angel was bringing him information. And this angel would tell him things that he did not know, okay? And this was part of God's plan for this thing to be revealed to him. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, and there's none greater. Father, we ask today, the Lord, that you would touch the heart of your people. Thank you, Lord, for enabling me to deliver this message. And I pray that your people all over would hear. And Father, we just magnify you, Lord God. We glorify you because, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And you are worthy to be lifted up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ and Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.